Hey everyone, this is Isaac Maddox, and I'm the pastor of Activate Church, and this is our podcast. Remember, you can subscribe to our podcast and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram. I hope this message blesses you, encourages you, builds your faith, and I hope you enjoy the message.
Thanks for coming. Thanks for coming. Christmas service this Sunday. Next Sunday is candlelight service, Christmas Eve. Come out and join us for Christmas Eve. And I'm excited to be in church today and celebrate the greatest moment in human history, the birth of Jesus Christ. Amen. And so I'm believing that joy, I'm believing that faith, I'm believing that wherever you're at this morning, that God would answer your prayer and God would touch you. And if you're struggling with faith, I pray that your faith would be encouraged. And if you're needing some hope, I'm praying that hope would come to you. And if you need some money, Johnny will give you some money. Amen. And if you need a hug, Dustin will give you a hug. Whatever you need this morning, I'm praying that you get it. I pray that God blesses you. And I pray that this is a moment where you see Jesus like you've never seen him. Amen. And so Merry Christmas. We're going to continue to sing a little bit. But let's go to the Word of God this morning. Luke chapter 2. It's my privilege and my honor to preach this morning some of the greatest story ever told. We won't look at all of it, but we're going to look at some of it. Yeah. Luke chapter 2, verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus to the whole world should be registered. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph went up from Galilee and out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. And so it was, while they were there, that the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. I love how we glorify this. Swaddling clothes were milk rags, and a manger is a feeding trough. But it sounds so glorified and Christmassy. Why is Christmas so Christmassy? Why do candles glow and in food and hams and yams and gravy and gifts and all of the glow and the warmth and around the world? You have to ask yourself why. It's got to be more than the ingredients inside chocolate. It's got to be more than the glow of a candle. There's got to be the light. There's got to be the originator. There's got to be a source. And the source of Christmas, I'm so glad you asked, is because of Christ. It's not a candle. It's not food. It's not even a hug. The greatest thing you can experience on planet Earth and eternity is the presence of the living God. And so that's why we have a message. That's why we celebrate. This isn't just a Christian tradition. This isn't just some things that people do because it's on the calendar. The reason for the last 2,000 years we celebrate this moment in the end of our calendar year is because the Bible says he crowns the year. And as Christians, we celebrate this moment. People might argue, well, whether Christ was born on this day or that day. The point is, in the end of the calendar year is when Christians gather together to celebrate the very purpose to life. The very reason we even have any hope is because of Christ. The only reason we're really excited, there's got to be something more exciting than a football game. As much as I love football, as much as I love a kiss from my wife and playing golf, there's got to be more. And the more is this Jesus that came to earth that caused us to have joy. And so that's why we're here celebrating. And verse 8. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord, and this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men." What a song. And so it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. And now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told to them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at the things which were told to them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told to them. Let's talk about joy this morning. I want to speak this morning just for a few minutes on a season of joy. This is a season of joy. Wherever you find yourself, whatever you're going through, there is a joy, whether you see it or not, that comes from the Prince of Peace. The reason for all joy is Jesus. Yes, I pray that you see Jesus this morning. You might be in a manger. You might be in a barn. You might be in a dark, chaotic season. You might have all faith in the world, or you might have none. And yet Jesus is coming. He is here. He is doing what only he can do. And all you have to do is receive him this morning. A season of joy. Let's look at that for a few minutes this morning. God, we thank you that we are here. We thank you that we can gather. We thank you that we can come together and sing, Lord, in your name. God, I thank you that there's more than just music and stories going on. There's a person, and your name is Jesus, and you are the King of Kings, and you are the Lamb. You are the Messiah that came, and you put on flesh, and you came. And the mystery of the ages, the mystery that the angels looked into, God, that yet the plan of God was revealed in the birth of Jesus Christ, and yet you were born to die for all of humanity. God, we thank you for the greatest gift. The reason we give gifts is because you are a giver and you gave us the greatest gift, yourself. And Lord, we celebrate today the birth of your son, Jesus Christ. In your name we pray. Amen. 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 So my first Christmas, I was thinking about my first Christmas with Carrie, and we got married on November 2nd in 2001. And it was right after 9/11, so we went on our honeymoon to Hawaii, and we were the only ones there. And it was cool but weird. We went on, anyway, what am I talking about? We went on a little snorkeling cruise, and it was just us. Anyways, so we came back, our first Christmas, and we're just poor youth pastors, but very excited. I don't think you ever would have met a more poor person, more happy, because I was getting paid. I was getting paid to do what I love to do. And so I still couldn't believe that we got to be paid to be Christians. Amen. So So we went up to Mount Hood, and we went snowboarding, and we were sort of the budgets back then were more of intentions and prayers and thoughts were more of our budgets. And so we just kind of swiped and prayed. And if you've ever been there, you're just sort of, here we go. And it would say accepted, and you're like, yes. And I honestly thought God was multiplying our money. Like we were celebrating America, but we didn't realize they had just kicked in overdraft protection. And so it was going onto our credit card, and we didn't know that. So anyways, it hit that limit, though, and we're driving to my parents' house, our first Christmas, and we're all ready to, you know, just meet Mom and Dad here. And Carrie had met them a few times and really had not hung out with them. And anyways, we're at the gas station, and the dreaded moment comes where the card is declined, and it's over in Portland. Someone's pumping your gas, and you know, they're like, hey, it's not working. And you're like, oh, what card is that? Silly card. We didn't move our Switzerland funds into that account. So anyways, but this is before, you know, smartphones and apps. So we had no idea. We were just in the dark. So we had to go to a place, it's a bank, and we had to go to Bank of America off of Sandy there, and we went in there, and she takes us through our things, and we're like, wow. So all of that miracle money wasn't a miracle. It's now debt. Okay, wonderful. So we had no money. We had no money. It's kind of a sick feeling. It's kind of not a happy Christmas feeling, and so we're kind of bummed out. You're like bummed out. We're like newly married. We're like faking it. How's it going? Great. He's the reason for the season. I know. You just got nothing. You just feel like a total dork. And I told you we shouldn't have gone snowboarding. No, I'm just kidding. We didn't fight. We don't fight. Amen. Amen. And so we get to my parents' house, and we're already kind of feeling it. You know, you're just kind of eh. And so we knock on the door, and because my mom's with Jesus, but you know, she's this wonderful Italian mom, you know, just overdoes it. She overdoes everything. So I'm expecting to be overdone. Like I'm expecting just for her to run out of the house, you know, like almost dancing, you know. It's just sort of like, Isaac, Carrie, it's our first Christmas. I dressed up, I put my little sweater with a little collar underneath it, and it's all ready to go. Carrie will dress, and she, you know, the whole thing. We're just like, ready, it's our first Christmas. We're here, you know, take care of us, you know, mom and dad. No greeting. Nothing. I'm even knocking on the door, you know. We're here. No one even comes to the door. So I was like, okay, I'm just going to let myself into my own house. It's fine. It's fine. I come in, and they're just like hanging out in the living room. We just like poke our heads in and say, hey, guys. They're like, hey. So anyway, and my dad's like finishing the story. I'm like, well, this is weird. Like, Carrie's here. We're here to hang out. And can I get you guys anything from the kitchen? You know, I'm like, okay, thanks. So I make a joke, you know. It's like, oh, no, sit down. Just go ahead and sit down. And then my mom sends one back, you know. It's like, hey, well, we never see you anyways. You know, I'm like, whoa, okay. So we're like off to a bad start. So now I'm not a passive aggressive person. Some of y'all are. I'm just sarcastic, which is much healthier. And so now I don't know if this is functional or dysfunctional. I don't know if this is funny. But all of a sudden, like the I'm joking thing. Have you ever had like an I'm joking thing with someone in your family? I was just joking. No, I was just joking. No, I was just joking. Well, this is quite jokey. So much laughter, so much fun. You can cut the tension, right? So we make a little joke. We worked at this big church and we're youth pastors, and they're like, they're just doing this church plant. You know, how are things up at the big church? It's like, thanks, mom. Okay, 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 mom. I can only tell these stories because she's with Jesus now. So would never tell this story with her in the front row. So we're like, okay, so sometimes, and especially in the holidays, you have to push restart on some conversations. Like, all right, let's just back this up. Anywho, great to be here. Mom, dad, let's eat. And as we're coming around, your parents ever buy a new animal and, like, you don't know about it? Well, my parents were dachshund people, so there's always this little neurotic dachshunds running around. They're cute for about a second. They're highly emotional. And so they pee and poo everywhere. And then my parents make them, oh, he's just having a bad day. It's like, dad, you've had dachshunds for the last 20 years, and that's what they do. Yeah. Like, they get mad at you, and they pee on your shoes. Like, they know what they're doing. Don't make excuses. So I'm looking around, hopefully, like, hold on, babe. I'm like, you don't want to step in any of this stuff, you know? And so, but this new dog, this little Labrador, comes running out of nowhere and like jumps on Carrie. And I'm like, whoa, 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 down, down. What is this thing? Is it a boy or a girl? Like, down it, down thing. You know, just hold on, hold on. So we get over to the table, we're eating, and this dog would not stop jumping on Carrie. I'm like, guys. And you know when you like, is this moment where Carrie's not going to say anything, like, get off me, right? She's just taking it. This claws, just like, my mom and dad, it's like National Lampoon's, like, oh, just let him finish. You know, it's cute. Like, this is cute. You're not being clawed. You're not being licked. You know, we're not making pheromone jokes. It must be Carrie's pheromones. This is so cute. It's a nightmare right now. Everything's going wrong on our first Christmas. And my mom leans over and said, it's okay. She got into you know, someone's coffee. You know, and I'm like, well, that's not good. I mean, the dog drank the whole cup of coffee? Like, guys. And I'm just sitting there just like, my family's so weird. And I... But they're not. They're just, what's going on? I'm like, I just want to ring the normal bell, right? He's like, shape up. Come on. Shape up. And Carrie goes into the kitchen and steps in one of the dog poops. And so that was sort of the moment. And then, again, my parents thought it was funny. And it's like, what's funny? We've been married a month. And she's stepping in dog poop in the kitchen. And you guys are laughing. And you're thinking it's funny. And it's not funny, guys. And everything that could go bad, went bad. Anyways, we get in the living room finally after dinner, and finally everyone relaxes and settles down, and Christmas turned around. We had a good conversation and sitting by the fire doing Jaeger shots. Amen. No, I'm just joking. That really helped out. No, I'm joking. We're good Christian people, and just sipping coffee and tea. Amen. And keeping it holy. And so we're just having coffee, and finally, everything clicks. You ever had that moment just finally turn? We're like, okay, we're finally having conversation, we're finally connecting, everything's not weird and jokey and hyper and weird and dogs and things and all the stuff. And it's amazing how fast things can go bad. It's amazing how things can turn. But in the middle of chaos, in the middle of what I thought was a very dysfunctional moment, a moment that I wanted to get out of, a moment that was not the moment I thought that I had dreamed of a little boy. Since I was a little boy, I was going to bring my wife home, and Christmas was going to be perfect. I had great Christmases growing up, and this Christmas was not going that way. But in the middle of everything going bad, there is finally this little moment that took place. That happened. And it's amazing in Christmas when our expectations or the things that we think might happen and whatever it might be turns into a chaotic moment, a dysfunctional moment, a moment we don't want to be a part of. And yet something can turn. And this moment that Jesus came and turned and light came into a dark world, it was actually the context of a Christmas just like mine, our first Christmas. It's chaotic, it's dysfunctional, it's in debt. It's weird. It's full of dog poop. Like anything that could go bad will go wrong. This is the context of Jesus's birth. So if you think you've got to get ready for Jesus, if you think you gotta clean out some things, if you gotta get holy, but for the only hope that you and I have in our mess, in our debt, in our stink is Jesus. And so this is the context. The world was not ready. The world was without prophetic vision for hundreds of years. The church was at its legalistic height. Rome was running the world. There was a worldwide registration and taxation. The world was under some sort of lockdown. They were under some sort of edict. There was worldwide events. There was local events. And there was even a family thing taking place between Mary and Joseph that they weren't happy about. They weren't proud about. I mean, think about the family, the first family, Mary and Joseph. Oh, hail Mary! Blessed are you among women. You're gonna receive the child, the Emmanuel, the one prophesied about. And she said, "Be it to me according to your word." She's just a teenage girl. I don't think she felt very blessed riding on that donkey, 9 months pregnant, bouncing around, no place to go, trying to register and do what she needs to do according to the state, according to Rome. But they're trying to head on back, and yet she goes. Oh, I think it's starting, it's going, it's happening. She doesn't want any of this. And she also, they're not even married. They're not even married. Joseph was going to leave her. And she had to go and say, "Hey, I'm pregnant by God." And Joe's like, "Okay, it's a new one." They've got some issues. They've got some dysfunction. I'm sure the conversations, scripture doesn't record, weren't as nice and functional and warm as we might think they would be, because on both sides things are crazy. They've never experienced like this before. So on the world, there's chaos and complications and context, and in their own world, there's chaos and complications and chaos. And yet it's this context that Jesus comes and is born. He's born without any really knowing. There's no massive exterior event. There's nothing to be seen. He comes quietly. He comes in the night. He comes into a manger. He comes. There's no room. There's no room. There's no room anywhere. So they find a barn. Jesus is born in a barn. The Son of the Living God. This moment that all of history was waiting for. Back in Genesis, Father God said, "The seed of the woman, the seed, this little Jesus would crush the head of Satan, the seed." See, we want King Jesus. We all want, and even the Jews are always looking for King Jesus with the sword and the army and in a heavenly host coming to planet Earth and overthrowing Rome. And it took 300 years to overthrow Rome. We don't like sometimes how God does it, because God comes humble. God comes as a seed. God comes as a vulnerable child. And we want King Jesus. We're looking for big, completed, outworking things. And Jesus comes as a conceived child through a woman, and all of heaven breaks out in song, because heaven celebrates the beginning of something. Heaven celebrates the new start of something. We celebrate the finality of something. We celebrate the bolstrous, big, audacious, visual, outworking change in life and world and home and marriage and kids. We're looking for something big. And so when something big doesn't happen, we don't think God's working. And yet God works in seed, and God works in new beginnings, and God works in fresh starts. And so Jesus is born as a baby in a barn in Bethlehem at night. It's quiet. It's insignificant. It's small. And all of a sudden, a choir of angels and a heavenly host is rejoicing. Oh, this is good. Oh, glory to God in the highest. An angelic choir over this? This is nothing. This is okay. This is a baby born. And all of human history looked to this event, and all of history looks back to this event. This is the moment where everything changes, that everything pointed to. He's coming, he's coming, he's coming. The Messiah is coming, the Savior of the world. He comes, and now for 2,000 years we look back and go, that is when everything changed. And so heaven shows us its pattern. Heaven shows, rejoice in the new beginning. Rejoice in a fresh start. Rejoice in the thrill of hope. Rejoice in a word that comes to you in the smallest, vulnerable form of a child, of a seed. Only the flesh comes and robs seed. Only the flesh comes. Oh, you said you're going to do that again. Don't rob someone's seed that you love. Be someone that encourages them and says, this is your season. This is, the diet does start on Monday. Amen. Monday's powerful. This is the year you're going to write the book, write the song. You're going to start that business. Be someone that throws water on that seed, not someone who snatches that seed. Heaven shows us, celebrate. Doesn't look like anything changed. Oh, but with Jesus, everything has changed. Jesus doesn't need you to become the Ritz-Carlton. Jesus literally takes all of the glory by saying, I am the one that makes the candle warm. I'm the one that makes chocolate silky smooth. I'm the one that makes a hug. I'm the one that makes love. People always talk, they're talking about the season. They're talking about the holidays and the holidays and the holidays. That's fine. I love it. I love it all. I love the gifts. I love it all. But it all points back to the fact that none of it would mean anything without Jesus. None of it would mean anything without the King of Kings. None of it would mean anything without heaven coming to earth. He is the source of my joy. He is the source of my life. You know, it didn't matter. He came in a barn. He came with animals, fields. He came in Rome. He came in a quiet middle of the night. Why? Because it's all about Jesus. The birth of Jesus. Everything changed with the birth of Jesus. You can't see it because there's nothing out here yet. But all that we see comes from the invisible seed, the smallness of the beginnings of Jesus coming in a manger. And at the same time, Jesus is being born. An angelic choir comes to some shepherds. Now, if I was the choir director in heaven, I would have sent them over to the manger, to the barn, because no one knows the awesomeness of this event. It's just Mary and Joseph and some animals. Jesus is being born. Send the angels over there. But no, the angels go to some shepherds just in a little bit far off field, and the angels show up to some shepherds. Angelic choir shows up to some shepherds in a field. Now, I don't know about you, but when I think of shepherds after 2,000 years in this story, I think of, well, that's pretty cool. You know, David was a shepherd and the Lord is my shepherd, and shepherd's kind of a cool thing. But you need to realize that back in the day, shepherds were like the worst job. It was like the lowliest of jobs. It wasn't what we think of now. It was like, you know, saying that the Lord is my shepherd is like saying the Lord is my toilet cleaner. You know, it's like, the Lord is my toilet cleaner. Like, someone wouldn't equate, like, God is a shepherd. God is a king. I don't know if God is a shepherd. And so these angels show up to the lowest, to the most insignificant. And yet somehow God says, okay, I want the insignificant people, I want this insignificant moment to be a part of the greatest story ever told. And so God comes to shepherds. What's the worst job on the planet? I mean, shepherds were not, remember David? David was like a shepherd, and his brothers were like, go back to those few sheep. You stink. It's shepherding is important, but it's not, I don't want to see it. It's messy. Yes, we need the sheep. We need the wool. We need all of that. Even if the sheep were sacrificial, we need it to fulfill the law, and we need all that, but we don't want to see it. We don't want to hear about it. And so the angels show up to the shepherds. The angels show up to the insignificant shepherds? Why are the shepherds a part of this story? Why were the shepherds a part of the greatest story ever told? The insignificance, the humble, lowly. You know, the worst job on the planet for me would be like a spider scientist. I don't know what the name for that is. But I think studying spiders, because spiders are demons. I don't know if you knew that. We're going to talk about that in a few weeks from now. But I hate spiders. I don't understand. We live in Australia. God took us over there for a year, and we had to kill a few spiders, huntsman spiders, and it changed my life. I came face to face with this thing, and it's evil. I think the original language was the enemy wasn't quite a snake. I think he was more of a spider. I think it was a spider snake. So spiders are the worst. That's like the worst job ever. But anyways, moving on. I think that God wants us to know that the story came to the humble. The story came to the nothingness. The story came to the, oh, you don't have anything? That's right. It came to a barn. It came to shepherds. I think in this season, I'm reminded, Isaac, I want you to be a shepherd. I want you to be someone that humbly, with meek and mildness, leads people to me. It is less about me, and it's more about him than ever before. That the angels showed up to shepherds. That God's asking us, all we need is him. Would we be willing to simply behold him? Would we be willing to literally just be recipients of this message? And could we shepherd this message? Could we behold this message? Could we carry the message, not add to it, not take away from it, but just behold him and literally shepherd the moment, shepherd our church services, and shepherd our families, and shepherd our children, and shepherd our marriages, and maybe shepherd this city, that all that we are points to him. And so the message comes to shepherds. I love this in 1 Peter. 1 Peter 5, verse 1, it says, the elders who are among you, I exhort you. I who am a fellow elder, this is Peter, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also am a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God, which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly. He shows up to shepherds. I believe there's a fresh shepherding anointing coming upon our church to help just lead people with the simplicity of the message that Jesus has come, that Jesus is Savior, that Jesus has broken into your life, and all you have to do is believe, and all you have to do is receive and let him do what he wants to do. He is the fullness of the Godhead. He is the fullness of holiness. He came into dirt. He came into debt. He came into insignificance. And he is the one that makes things significant. He is the one that brings identity. He is the one that brings joy. You can light as many candles as you want. You can have a wood-burning fireplace like I do, because I don't believe in gas-burning fireplaces, except they're in your master bedroom. But I believe that no matter what you have, no matter how much food you have, no matter how many perfect moments you have, it doesn't matter. Outside of Jesus, there will not be significance. There will not be life. There will not be power. There will not be miracles, and there will not be healing, and there will not be what God can only do within himself. And so Jesus comes, and the shepherds behold this message, and the word of God comes to them. I love this, because the shepherds said, we have now made known what was known to us. We are simply recipients of this message. We are recipients. Where did you get that? It was made known to me. I didn't even find it. They found me. Heaven broke out in the middle of the night in my field when I was just doing what I do. And the word of God came to them, and the word, and they worshiped the word, and they worshiped. I love this, because this is like a picture of church. Is we receive what heaven's doing. We don't instigate it. The microphone, I don't. The keyboard doesn't. We don't. God does it. Heaven breaks out and comes to earth, and we worship, and the angels cry, holy, holy, I bring you good news with great joy. And they worshiped, and then they went and saw Jesus, because all of this is about seeing Jesus. Then what happens when they go see Jesus? See, the angels didn't say, okay, I want you to go see Jesus and then tell everybody. You're the first evangelist and you're the first pastors. They didn't have a strategy. The angels just said, this is how you do it. This is how you find Jesus. You're going to find him wrapped up. You're going to find him in a manger. You're going to find him in the thing. They go and find him. And what the Bible says is they see Jesus and then they go and make this widely known. Why? Because what happens when you see Jesus, something changes inside of you. The conversion experience of seeing Jesus changes everything, even to the point where you have to leave this place. It's such good. Instantaneously, the message about Jesus became real. The angel said, I bring you good tidings of great joy. Go see Jesus. They go see Jesus. They see the good news. They see the message. They see the word take on flesh. They see the good news. And all of a sudden, from the good news, they have great joy because of Jesus. And what do you do with good news and great joy? You tell people. Just like I was at Costco one time, I walk in there and I see the Raisin Bran for $3.99 and it blows my mind. What do? I got to get on the phone and tell people, hey, put down the box of cereal at Safeway right now. It's a small box for the same price. Get here while the getting is good. I bring good news of great joy for tons of Raisin Bran for four. What happens when you see something good? You want to tell someone. That's why this season of joy is going to break out because of the good news in Jesus. You don't need a strategy to tell your friends. All you need to do is shepherd the moment that's breaking out in your life right now. The message of Jesus Christ is igniting your heart and your soul with good news of who he is with great joy. And they went and told everybody. The Bible says widely known. They couldn't stop telling people something's happening that's about to change the world. Jesus has come. Oh, he's here. We saw him. You gotta know. You gotta know. They widely told. And then they came back. And the Bible says they were praising and worshiping Jesus. It seems like when they experienced the word and they worshiped, then they saw Jesus, they naturally had to tell people. That's why we just need to make this about Jesus. I'm not against like 12-part evangelistic strategies. I'm just like, if you see Jesus, like when you see the good news of the prices that I saw at Costco, you have got. I remember calling my mom saying, Mom, there's a yam. There's a ham for $17.99. It's got glazing on it and it's already cooked. You gotta get down here. All you gotta see is Jesus. All you gotta see is Jesus. And when you see Jesus, you are experiencing the love that only comes from God. You're experiencing joy that only comes from God. You're experiencing life that only comes from Jesus. And so supernaturally and naturally, you want to share it. Why? Because you're made in his image and he is a giver. He is creator God. He is the Savior. And when you're around him, you know how you become like your friends? I used to preach this as a youth pastor. Show me your five friends, I'll show you your future. Show me your friends, I'll show you your future. You become like who you hang out with. That's why you might need to change a little bit of your friend group. But when you start hanging around Jesus, you become like him. And Jesus came into darkness and into nothingness. And so that's why when you experience him, you don't mind stepping into other people's darkness. Jesus came in a barn, and so you don't mind stepping into someone else's barn. You don't get religious and go, what are you doing? This is gross. Here's some scriptures. Fix yourself up. I'm out of here. No, you're like Jesus. You show up to shepherds in the field. You show up to people's barns. And you're like, I got a message of good news. I got good news for you. That's why I love being a Christian. Is I don't understand how other people are living for. I've got good news of great joy. And so they shared it with people. And after you share it with people, their worship went even higher because they saw people worshiping Jesus, and that caused them to want to worship Jesus more. And so their worship went through the roof. And so worship team, come on up. Good tidings of great joy. Good tidings of great joy. Why did this heavenly choir almost waste this moment, in my opinion, on some shepherds? Well, we know they're our first preachers, our first evangelists. You know what's amazing about this moment is that they come into the barn and they see Jesus. And it kind of fascinates me why they, I mean, I'm sure they wanted to hang out, and stay there. But their first reaction was, I gotta go tell people. I need to go. Like, I feel like sometimes I just kind of want to stay in church forever and just be around, you know, Jesus forever. And sometimes telling people is annoying to me. And so I'm wondering if I need to see Jesus afresh this season, because the truth of it is when you see Jesus, he does something in your life. He breaks fear. He breaks insecurities. It's something happens where you want to share the good news with people. You want to share Jesus with people. And I love this because the shepherds said that it was made known to us. And I think to humble people, whatever is given to you, you want to give away. But to proud people, we want to hold on to it. And insecurity says I need to hold on to it. Fear says I need to hold on to it. But when I get low and I get humble like a shepherd, whatever is given to me, it's not me. And so the more I can get humble, the more I can make it about Jesus, the more I can just freely give it without worrying about what you think of me or worried about what people feel about me. I can like a shepherd the word of God. And the shepherd said it was made known to us. I have to make it known to people. And the message that came, I love this. The angel said, for there is born to you this day, that's the gospel, to you, to every single one of you this morning, to you, the gospel's made known to you. The good news of Jesus Christ is made known to you when? Today. Good news of great joy. Joy that is sourced in more than a moment, in more than an experience, more than anything you could experience in this world, in this sphere, in this realm. It's sourced in the good news. Jesus is the good news. So this joy that is sourced in Jesus, joy that is sourced in good news. So the good news, simply Jesus, simply the good news of Jesus, causes great joy in me. So what's this great joy come from? Jesus. And this word great joy, it isn't like this exuberant party. It actually means this calm celebration inwardly of gratitude. Joy. And it actually means even deeper. It means this joy is simply an awareness of God. The angels were telling the shepherds, grace to the humble. They were telling these humble, lowly shepherds, I bring you good news of great joy. An inward awareness of God because of the good news being shared with you about Jesus. And when you hear this good news, it will literally birth this inner joy, this inner awareness of God. That was the message they received. God in heaven causing, you know what you want this morning? You simply want to become aware of Jesus. From the beginning of your relationship with Jesus throughout the history of your life, you want to simply become aware of something invisible. And it takes faith. And so the angels were saying, become aware of Jesus. Go see Jesus. They went and saw Jesus. They become more aware of Jesus. When you become more aware of Jesus, you become more aware of who he is. And who he is he's loved the whole world, that he gave his son. So you got to go tell people. Now you have to just go tell people. Why? You have to go help people become aware of Jesus. You have to help people become aware of Jesus, shepherding them to become aware of Jesus. And then when you see them become aware of Jesus on the countenance of their face, you see them look to Jesus, and it makes you want to praise Jesus more. And so they came back after becoming and helping people become aware of Jesus, because they became aware of Jesus. They worshiped even more after seeing other people become aware of Jesus. And so you see church and you see revival and you see the cycle of what it means to be a worshiper of Jesus Christ. And the good news that causes great joy is simply the awareness of Jesus. A season of joy is a season of the awareness of God. Stand with me this morning. I need more than a day off. I need more than a week in Maui. I need more than a bonus. I need more than a new car. All those things are good. The joy that comes from a brand new car, it will fade. The joy that comes from a house full of food, even though all those things are good. All those things are good. All those things are the gifts of God that He gives us. And yet at the center of all of it, I need good news that brings great joy. I need this great joy that only comes from Jesus. If you need that joy this morning, I want you to slip up your hand this morning. If you need a miracle in your life this morning, if you need faith this morning, I want to pray with you. I believe this is a season of joy. If you need fresh faith this morning, just slip your hand up. I just want to pray with you. If you need a miracle this morning, if you want to believe this morning, if you're saying, God, help me become aware of you. I don't want to live without you. I don't want to live without knowing you, Jesus. If you need fresh faith this morning, pray with me. If you need fresh joy this morning, pray with me. If you want to shepherd your family this morning, you want to lead people into greener pastures and happier times and restore your family, restore your marriage, restore your kids. If you know there's something more on you, your heart's open, you're hungry for the Word of God to take up residence on the inside of you, pray with me this morning. Lord, we thank you that you are the source of our joy. Lord, we thank you. We proclaim a season of joy in this church, around the world, in this Christmas season. We thank you that it's Christmas. It's Christmas. It's Christ that crowns the year. It's Christ that crowns the calendar. It's Christ that has come to be born in earth and in humanity. Heaven has come to earth. There's a message and there's good news of great joy. And that joy, that inner calmness, that inner gratitude, that inner glow, that inner happiness, that fulfillment that we all seek, Lord, it comes from you. We thank you for all of the gifts of life. We thank you for all of the blessings of life, but Lord, we know that they all pale in comparison to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and Emmanuel, God with us. Lord, we thank you for coming as a child. We thank you for coming with hope. We thank you for breaking through that dark night in that manger in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago, being born into insignificance and poverty and telling some shepherds, oh, glory to God in the highest. I'm calling you to share the good news. And Lord, like those shepherds 2,000 years ago, we are the modern day shepherds that all we have to do is behold your glory. All we have to do is receive heaven. All we have to do is be humble, meek, and mild, and watch and receive your message. And go see Jesus and make it about Jesus and talk about Jesus and worship Jesus and bring people back to Jesus. Do you know Jesus? Do you know that Jesus is the reason for the season? Do you really know that Jesus is the glow in every glow? And He is the fun and He is the source. He is the life giver. He is any reason you have any bit of hope and happiness and fulfillment in life is because He is life. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is salvation. He is the bright morning star. He is Christmas. He is the good news. He is hope. He is faith. He is my tomorrow. He is my future. He is my today. He is heaven. He is my happy. He is my fulfillment. He is my bread. He is my water. He is my oil. He is my everything. He is my Savior. And the joy that I have in this season is because of Him. Jesus, we thank you. We thank you. Yeah, thank you. Celebrate. There's a new season. There's a new season coming. Thank you, Jesus.
For your promises, Lord.
We'll see you next Sunday for the Christmas Eve service. We love you so much. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Come get your kids. Come get some candy.